Our lesson this morning is based on a scripture found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, where the scriptures tell us, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness that this day should surprise you like a thief." Matthew 25. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." It was an ordinary early December day, a cloudy Sunday. Much like today, the song leader had just led a bunch of songs about the birth of Christ. People were thinking about Christmas and the holidays, everything that had to be done. And then the sermon started, and the preacher was talking again about the need for you to repent and obey the commands of Jesus. The smell of food drifted up from the basement, and you glanced at your watch, wondering how long the sermon would last this time. The scriptures on the screen were so familiar, you'd seen them so often, you could probably quote them right along with the scriptures that the preacher did. It was almost time for the invitation when it happened. It started off like a low, distant rumble, but grew louder and louder until it seemed the whole building was vibrating with the sound of a trumpet blast. The light fixtures began to shake, and then the roof disappeared. And the walls fell outward, leaving you sitting in your pew looking up in stunned silence, the sky glowing brighter than anything you'd ever seen before. Then you saw him there in the clouds, coming closer and closer. There was no doubt who he was or what was happening. You'd heard about it time and time again. Jesus was coming back. His hair and head were white like wool, as white as snow, his eyes like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. You slumped back in your seat, too weak to move, unsure of what to do. Suddenly the air is split with a great shout. "Arise!" And from the cemetery across the road, glowing bodies begin to rise from graves split open. It seemed like thousands, maybe millions of people rising all at once in their new bodies. And you couldn't help but think of the scriptures that you'd heard so many times. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." And the very words of Jesus echoed in your head. "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." But then something strange and unexplained happened. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, your own body was changed. Oh, it was still you, but it wasn't the same. The scars, the imperfections, they were all gone. You felt so strange, so different, so light, and even as you tried to understand, you too began to rise up through the clouds. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." As you rise, the brightness ahead was blinding. But below you, if you looked, you could just make out what used to be the earth melting into a ball of fire. And when you looked up again, you found yourself in a great crowd, standing before a throne. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as was recorded in the books. Oh, you saw those books opened. You saw the crowd standing there being separated into two groups. One large group on the left, standing in darkness, and a smaller group on the right, bathed in light. As you inched closer to the throne, you could see the books. There was the book of life, and another familiar-looking book. You studied it, and then you realized, well, that's the Bible. But Jesus had said that it was his words that were going to judge us. Then you heard a name called that you recognized. It was one of your friends. Oh, she was a member, all right. She sat right across the aisle when she made it. That wasn't very often. There was always some excuse, it seemed. Company came, it was too rainy, it was too dark, it was too late, too hot, too cold, or just too busy. Oh, the Lord heard the excuses too, but he didn't call them excuses, he called them sin. He opened the book and he read, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received a knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace?" It was then that you realized worship wasn't an option. It was a command. And the Lord pointed to the left, and the number on the left grew. Then another familiar name was called. He too had been a Christian, at least a while back. You hadn't seen him for a while. It had been almost a year, it seems. He's always so busy with his job, he just didn't have time for church. He always said he meant to get back someday, but now it was too late. And the Lord read, "If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them." And then he read, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so we do not drift away. If the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him." The words were read and the Lord pointed to the left, and you saw him move silently into the darkness. Then the voice spoke from the throne again. Another name that you knew was called. He was a young man. He'd attended worship from the time that you first knew him. He'd heard the scriptures preached, but he just never felt the need to respond. Oh, people would offer to teach him privately, but you know, there was never a convenient time. He had college to attend. He had a career to build. There'd always be time for religion later, he'd said. And besides, things were going all right for him right now, and the scripture commands that bothered him at first were just words now. The Lord opened the book and read, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. Jesus said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.' Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." All he could think of was, "I knew what I should have done, but now it's too late. It's too late," and there was nobody to blame but himself. And then the Lord read, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" But he realized he hadn't done it. He hung his head and moved silently into the darkness on the left. Then another name was called. Oh, you'd seen her at services quite often. You knew exactly where she'd be sitting, probably had her name on the pew. But she'd been raised in a group that had been taught to baptize babies. And she'd been baptized that way, and she felt no need to change, even though she knew the Bible said that baptism was for those who could believe and repent. She just felt in her heart that God would accept her the way she was. But the Lord knew her reasoning, and he simply read Proverbs 14, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." Romans 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And the words of Jesus himself, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." She knew what the commands were. She started to sputter, but I thought, and then stopped, realizing there was no appeal. The Lord pointed again to the darkness on the left. Then the Lord called another familiar name. You recognized him as one who was always busy doing good things. He was always somebody you could count on whenever you needed anything. He volunteered for every group going. Everybody liked him. Well, no, he had never been baptized, but he did so many good things. He claimed to believe in God. I mean, he could even quote scripture. The Lord opened the book and read Matthew 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." And then in Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" The Lord pointed to the left, and the group in darkness grew. As Jesus read Matthew 25, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Then the voice called another name. You knew he'd been a Christian for a long time, but it been on a prayer list lately. He'd lost several close family members. He was battling disease and pain and often felt poorly. But he did all he could do in the Lord's service. He was at every service he could physically make. He sent cards to the sick. He prayed daily for each of them. He was on a fixed income, but he was always ready to help whenever he could. And he was quick to thank the Lord for every blessing in his life. Rain, snow, sunshine, it didn't matter. His love and trust in the Lord was obvious to all. He always tried to please the Lord by living as close to the Bible as he could. The Lord opened the book and read 1 John 1. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you'll suffer persecution 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you the crown of life." Then Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The angels escorted him into the light on the right, and again the Lord spoke, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Once more the voice thundered from the throne, but this time he called your name. It was your turn to stand before the one who knows every thought and intent of the heart. And as you stand there, he opens the book, and your mind begins to race. What's he going to read? Will it bring me eternal joy or endless condemnation? Which side will I end up on? The answer is found in the scriptures. Have you obeyed what the scriptures said? They are clear. The scriptures tell us that we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins and turn to him for forgiveness. We must confess our faith and believe in him and be baptized, immersed in water to gain the forgiveness of sins. If you've not obeyed those scriptures, or you haven't taken the Lord seriously as a Christian, then we're told in 2 Thessalonians, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the majesty of his power. Notice the two who will be punished there, who don't know God and don't obey the gospel. Well, the gospel is more than just those steps. It's more than just hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized. The gospel is living for Jesus day by day. If you've drifted away, you need to come back. You need to turn around and do things the way he wants you to do. Remember, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What if today is that day? What if that trumpet blast starts sounding even before we finish? Are you ready for Jesus to return? Won't you come and make things right with him right now as we stand together and sing the invitation song?